pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Mallory Pipey text line 251-343-0106. I neglected to give that out in the first hour, I realize, but it's there, and I will get to your text as soon as I can. We'll have a lot of time kind of after our next guest, and I'll get through them, so keep them coming. We appreciate the feedback. Still to come on the program, we haven't had him on in a while, State Representative Alan Baker. He is in the Baldwin County delegation. But we're going to make time for him. We're always appreciative of him making time for this program. Joining us now, I will soon probably be calling him state senator, but right now he's still in the House, slumming it. State Representative Matt Woods is with us from Jasper, from Walker County. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jeff. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Hey, thanks for coming by. Well, how is your Senate race going? I mean, obviously, it's not been much of a election contest at all. Then he got some Democrat opposition, but that'll, this is me talking, and I think you'll be fine there. But how's it going?
Well, so far everything's going really well in the Senate race. You know, that election's June 24th, and so, we got out to a fast start. I was really honored to have the Republican nomination. It was uncontested in the primary, right. So that was a big hurdle for our campaign to cross. And then, we move on to the general election. And, so far the support back home has been very good. I think the people of District 5 are very conservative in large part. And yeah. So it's a very strong, pro-Trump Republican district. And I expect that we'll continue to be strong, on June 24th. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, it's good to hear. Let's talk about the session. I mean, it's now right now there's sort of an impasse between the House and the Senate, but that happens every year. But from your observation, like how, 8 days left, you feel good about where you're at or where the bodies are at?
Well, like you said, this is every year we hit this part of the session. There's a logjam in both chambers of bills that are priority bills for, different people. And so that gets a little contentious from time to time, but that's expected. I think just like in my previous couple of years down here, you'll find that we'll pass a lot of bills toward the last few days. We've still got the budgets laying out there that we
have
to pass.
Once the BIR is gone, things kind of move. The machinery kind of speeds up a little bit.
That's right. That's right. The Senate has a little different rules. They can do previous roll. They can really burn through a lot of bills quickly when they decide, they want to do that, which is something we cannot do exactly here in the House. But, we're passing bills. I've got some bills that are in position to be voted on in the Senate. I'm just like everybody else. I want to get them on the floor and get them passed. And, they're, in my opinion, some of the best bills down here, just like everybody else.
Yeah, and this will get resolved, though. This is typically how it goes. Let's start here, though. The session as a whole up to this point, not a particularly contentious session. There's no gambling or anything like that, kind of hanging around. I think after last year, this year just seems way more tame.
Sure. And, we've had some leadership changes with now Secretary Reid moving on. Right. We have a new pro tem in the Senate. And so, I think it's a good year to kind of reset a little bit and not have the great big topics necessarily that everybody always wants to think about and talk about. Going into the session, I didn't have a lot of direction as far as what the big topics would be. I think we've already crossed most of those topics that would be what I would consider the large ticket items, the pharmacy benefit manager bill that just passed into law last week. It was signed actually yesterday by Governor Ivey. You've got the Alpha Health Planning Committee right now as we speak in the Senate, which is a pretty big, bill for health care across the state. So that's an important bill as well. And once those are passed, it's really just the budgets and then, priority projects. There's some funding for education. That's a big topic as well that's new. So, a lot of interesting things yet to come, but not necessarily the big headline-grabbing things that people are accustomed to.
Well, I think that Alpha stuff is pretty significant. I mean, they've been advertising, the opponents have on the show, are on the station. They've been doing that in Tennessee for decades, So you look at that may not seem like a big headline, big deal, but as far as Montgomery goes, as far as like the heavyweights, it's certainly eye raising. I mean, I was kind of surprised 98-1 in the House chamber last week, and I know there was an amendment that was contentious right before that, but it seemed to sell through without much fanfare.
Well, I think that's just a good, you know, example of the process having been worked out ahead of time. Representative Faulkner did a great job of navigating that with all parties, I believe. Took a lot of amendments to try to get the bill in a place where everybody could live with it. You know, and we always kind of chuckle and say if everybody's unhappy, then it's probably a decent bill. And so I wouldn't say everybody's unhappy, but certainly everybody didn't get everything they wanted. And so that's just good government, in my opinion. You know, bills are not meant to be easy to be passed. You don't want us to enter passing bills left and right. It needs to be a deliberate process, and I think that's what this has been.
This is what we're talking about right before you with Senator Chambliss. Like, this building is not built to be efficient, right? You don't want efficient lawmaking because that's just government getting more powerful, bigger, whatever.
That's right. You know, I said it at a meeting Monday night. You know, there's 1,000 ways to kill a bill and only one way to pass it. And so to get it through the legislative process, you really have to bring all the stakeholders to the table and figure out how it's going to affect them and what's best for the people of Alabama. That's the ultimate thing. How's it affecting the people back home? And so, you know, I pride myself on doing the homework ahead of time and trying to, you know, flesh out all the problems early. I think that's what has happened with the Alpha Plan. I mean, it's been worked on for over a year. So these are that's the way you have to approach these big issues.
Well, and it's really because gambling was out there. You really couldn't get to stuff like this last session, you know, especially Alpha. They seem to be doing a lot of different things right now. They got to move their headquarters, it sounds like, down the street. And, you know, it's kind of funny to watch. But you look at this building right now, and I guess once we get past the budgets, there's some kind of, you know, there's a lot of these cultural issue bills still kind of lingering out there. So what it looks like to me is like the big bang at the end.
Well, that's certainly a possibility. I hear some rumblings that could come up, you know, pretty soon, maybe even tomorrow. Who knows? But we'll see. I haven't seen the calendar yet, but that'll come out a little later today. We'll see some of these more red meat type issues start welling up here towards the end. So that could, you know, they could pass easy or it could lock us down, you know.
They could lock down the Senate, right?
Again,
because, you know, the upstairs, they could shut it down with just two members as they have for the last several years, right?
But they're very efficient at that.
Yeah. They're very good at it. That's just the rules as such as it is. I was joined by State Representative Matt Woods from Walker County from Jasper. We just want to talk a little bit about Jasper, but it's, I don't know. It seems like it's kind of hopping along there. I could tell you with some kind of like knowledge about the roads and things like that are being worked on. You got a Corridor X, you know, an I-22 that's been there for years. It's like every time you go through there, how much has that changed the city? Now you don't have that steady stream of traffic coming through Jasper anymore as it heads toward Tupelo and Memphis.
Sure. Well, you know, as a business owner along Highway 78, which you're referencing in Jasper, I was pretty concerned when I-22 opened up that it would take traffic off of Highway 78, which is the main thoroughfare through Jasper. And I can tell you the traffic has not decreased.
Really?
There's less, you know, big trucks on the road, but the overall traffic seems to actually have increased. You know, I-22 is a game changer for that whole area of the state. We were able to secure some funding through the Seeds Act and Growing Alabama Initiative to actually purchase some land in Walker County off of Exit 78 to develop that for a future industrial site. So it's really opening up opportunities for growth and to land some new jobs. And I think that we're poised and positioned in Walker County and the surrounding counties there to take advantage of the growth that's coming out of Jefferson and out of North Alabama, because, you know, Huntsville obviously has grown at a great, you know, great clip. They've got to have some secondary providers, you know, for
vendors,
sure, and employees. So we're going to locate some businesses there. There's some exciting opportunities on the horizon. I think that it's a little too early to talk about, but certainly are in conversation. That could be a big plus for Walker County.
So my mom grew up in Tupelo, and we used to go see like family up there. So let's just go through all those little towns like Winfield, Gwynn, Hamilton. And now that that interstate's, people are, it's almost forgotten about, you know.
Yeah, some of those towns definitely have saw a decrease in commerce, but that's just the natural evolution, I think, of an interstate passing through in close proximity. The exits are actually starting to develop a little bit more up in Winfield. You can see it especially. New truck stops coming in, things of that nature. So I think
this
will
take a few years.
I think we're just a few years away from more migration toward the interstate, probably.
Yeah, it's because of these old towns, you know, and it's got the Saturday night.
Yeah,
kids driving around this town square, and you know, and all that, you know, just
that's how I grew up.
Yeah,
you know, I love small towns. That's what I identify with. But you know, like downtown Jasper's done fantastic. There's been a lot of investment.
It's really changed
for
the last 10 years, hasn't it? Downtown Jasper.
The Main Street program there is very strong, and a lot of good investment from local folks there who rehabbed a lot of buildings. So if you come to downtown Jasper, I think you'll find yourself in a great eatery and entertainment area now. So
there's a shirt shop I always stop at.
That's right,
right there.
Bernard's Store for Men's. What you're talking about?
A bunch of Bernard's Store T-shirts, actually.
It's a good store.
We'll stop there. There's a couple of decent restaurants.
There are.
There used to be nothing there.
That's right. Yeah, it was very, very little options, and that's changed. And, you know, we have some really cool events that take place up there in September with the Foothills Festival. We've got some really great acts. It's free to the public. There'll be about 20,000 people show up, and we'll have some really good country and alternative. It's a pretty good mix of music and classic rock. So, you know, keep your eyes on that. We'd love to have you guys come up and set up.
And you got the lake. We used to think of Smith Lake as kind of a Coleman thing, but it's certainly a
huge county. Parts in Walker County. Yeah.
Right.
So from the dam to Duncan Bridge is all in Walker County, and it's a beautiful deep water lake, clear water, and people are building on it left and right. So
talk about places that grow in the state. Like, that's especially in this like kind of gig economy where people can work from wherever. That's one of the places people are locating is Smith Lake. You know, you see Smith Lake and Lake Martin really developing over the years.
I think so, and it's a clean lake, you know, at the end of the day, and the prices, although they're going up, are still very affordable compared to other lake properties around the country. So we are seeing a lot of out-of-state folks move there and participate, like you said, in the gig economy. So that's a good thing. They're spending their money here now.
Well, just a couple more minutes here before we let you go, but I make the transition to the Senate this time of year from now. I expect to call you Senator Woods, but have you even thought about this? Like, what do you think your first thing's going to be? Like, you know, it's like you talk about bills or think about things you want to accomplish. Much different than the House. There's 105 members versus 35 members in the Senate. Have you thought that far ahead about sort of like what Senator Matt Woods would, you know, sort of do when he gets there?
Well, a lot of my bills have centered around education topics and, you know, workforce issues, things of that nature. I've got a bill that I just filed recently that would provide a tax exemption on broadband equipment. So when we're pulling down these federal funds for broadband expansion, middle mile projects, things of that nature, that would remove the sales tax from it because, I mean, we're taxing basically our own tax money in that process. That would be a significant amount of money that could be applied to expanding broadband across the state. If we don't get that across the finish line this year, that'll be a priority for me to work on that in the off season. But, you know, I've got a lot of education topics that are on the table now. If they don't get across the finish line, we'll bring them back up. Things to help, you know, kids that drop out of high school, get them back in a program for career tech or to get their high school diploma after they've dropped out, things of that nature. I've got a big bill right now that's in position to move. It's big for me, at least. I think it affects everyone in the state, dealing with school threats, terrorist threats. You know, we've got to put some more teeth into that law to act as a deterrent.
We get all these, like, bomb threat calls.
Sure.
And it was like a thing for a hot minute.
Sure. My daughter has been in that situation at her school maybe 5 or 6 times this year already. So, you know, we want to remove the threat. If it's a student that makes a threat, we want to get them evaluated properly before we allow them to come back to school. Make sure that threat's, you know, addressed properly with a, you know, professional. Just things of that nature. Common sense bills, in my opinion, that make our kids and our school employees safer.
Well, real quick before we get you out of here, you mentioned this Rural Broadband Initiative. Where are we on that? Because it was all we talked about maybe last quadrennium or the quadrennium before. Is that Have you seen significant gains in that arena?
Well, a lot of the grants have been awarded. As you know, I wouldn't say I could talk to this with a complete, you know, certainty, but I do know the mapping's been done. I see people out in the field, you know, doing their due diligence to expand in talks with the providers. I do feel like most of that's going to come to fruition in my own county. I mean, it was several thousand households and businesses that'll be served. It's just a slow, slow process. And then with all the BEAD money coming down, like $1.4 billion coming down, for that same, you know, expansion, I think we're going to see significant increases in middle mile and you know, broadband expansion across the state. What it looks like, the details of it, I don't have them at this time.
Representative, we always appreciate your time. We'll do this again, hopefully soon.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it, Jeff.
Stay, Representative Matt Woods. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Yeah, I was country.